Hi, this is Eli Nelson, and this is the My City Church podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. It is our prayer that this message will awaken you to come alive in the things of Christ. Enjoy the message.
Ready for the Word of God this morning? Let me see your Bibles lifted up in the air. If your Bible's on your phone, that's fine. Lift it up in the air. Come on, let me see it. Kevin has my Bible on the pulpit there. Say, this is my Bible. I am what he says I am. Say, I am what he says I am. Open up to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Reading out of the NIV today. Why the NIV, Pastor Eli? Because I grew up on the NIV. That's why. Is there a perfect translation? I like all the translations. I'll just say that. I mean, there may be a few that I don't really appreciate, but Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. It's the first book. It's before the book of Mark. It's about three quarters to the end of your Bible. Matthew chapter 4. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you need some more time, say, hold up. All right. We're going to be reading out of the temptation of Jesus. If Jesus was tempted, what makes you exempt? Now, you don't have to live in fear, because he was tempted in every way that we were, and yet he overcame. Therefore, we also too can overcome. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. In other words, Jesus at this moment was not on the defensive, but he was actually on the offensive. He was stepping into a new level of authority, demonstrating who he was as Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God, right in the middle of the devil's domain, and saying, you can tempt me as much as you want. I will not give in, because I look to the reward. Jesus stepped into the wilderness, tempted by the devil. Verse 2, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I nominate this for the most obvious verse in the Bible. He didn't eat anything for 40 days and 40 nights, so he was hungry. The tempter, everyone go, ooh. You don't got to be worried about the devil. But the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word, say every word, that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus is setting a precedence on how we as believers are called to live. Notice how the devil came to him, telling him to turn something natural into something natural as well, but he told him to compromise what was supernatural, him as the Son of God, seeking to meet his physical needs, but compromising that he did not find his provision from the Lord, but in his own ability. We have a tendency to read what we want into Scripture, rather than trusting God to reveal who he is to us through our situation. It says, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written. Say, it is written.
It is written.
The devil's quoting Scripture. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written. Say, it is also written. Oh, we got like a, oh, and he said, and then, oh, he said, back and forth. And I would like to be a fly on that wall. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written. Say, it is written. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him. How many of y'all believe that there is a battle between what is truth and what is a lie? And the best way to combat the lie is not with another lie, but with what is true. So I'm here to talk to you today using the very words of Jesus. It is also written. Say that. Say, it is also written. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. As the word of God says, it's sharper than a double-edged sword to divide bone and marrow, penetrating to our innermost being. So would that be the case today? That it would not just be a message on a man's mouth, but may I be your vessel to communicate your truth, your transformative word to the hearts of your people today. Lord, I pray that you would open our ears to hear you, open our eyes to see you today, that we may see Jesus Christ and who we are in him. And right now, church, if you're hungry for the Lord to speak to you, would you open up your hands and say these words after me? Say, Heavenly Father, here I am. Speak to me. I'm listening. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the word of God today. You may be seated. How many of y'all believe that we're a Bible-believing church? We believe the entirety of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. I'll never forget the day when someone came to me and said, Pastor, you preach out of the Old Testament a lot. I said, you mean I preach out of the Bible? We are a Bible-believing church. It is the Word of God, and it can speak to you in various circumstances. I don't think there's anything wrong with just opening up the Bible and asking the Lord to speak to you, but I believe that there is something powerful in having a daily devotion to the Word of God. The Bible calls it our daily bread. To an extent, it is the Word of God to have our daily bread. If we're going around malnourished, it's probably because we're not taking our spiritual daily bread. I want to encourage you to, whether it's a verse a day, a chapter a day keeps the devil away, is what they say about the Proverbs. A proverb a day keeps the devil away. I want to encourage you to be a steward of the Word of God, to be one that reads, that doesn't just listen, whether it be to podcasts or sermons or watches YouTube videos, but one that actually sits down, quiets your heart, and says, Lord, speak to me. That's what I do right before I read. I say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me, Jesus. Speak to me as I read the Word of God. So I want to encourage you, if you don't have a Bible reading plan, we have one at the Church Center app. You can also stop by the Connect Corner, but you can find various different types of one. You can have the Bible on your phone, my friend, and you can read it at any 10 of them. You can read it at any single point in your day. So this is the Bible. It began with Moses. It ended with the Apostle John. The Bible was written by about 40 different authors. It's the accumulation of almost 1,500 years of divinely inspired narrative, beginning with the creation of the world until the days of Emperor Domitian of Rome. The authors were kings, fishermen, priests, government, officials, farmers, shepherds, and doctors. From all this diversity, however, comes an incredible unity with common themes woven throughout. The Bible's unity, though, is due to the fact that ultimately it has one author, God himself. The Bible is God-breathed, as we know from 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture, everyone say all scripture. All scripture. Old Testament, New Testament, Pauline epistles. All scripture, say it again, say all scripture. All scripture. Is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The human authors, yes, God used humans to divinely write the Bible. The human authors wrote exactly what God wanted them to write. And the result was the perfect and holy word of God. Psalm 12:6 says, and the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined 7 times. Many times in the Old Testament, God spoke through prophets, and those words became integrated into the word of God. And we see that through 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. It says, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, the word Bible comes from the Latin and the word meaning book. Isn't that revolutionary? It just means book. A fitting name, since the Bible is a book for all people, for all time. It's a book like no other, in a class by itself. He's like Michael Jordan or Tiger Woods. I'm not feeling like I'm speaking to some people that don't agree with me here. It's like the Huskers in the 95 season. Ah, there we go, right? Class all by itself. It's more than a historical document. It's more than a moral compass. It's also more than what Jordan Peterson refers to as the precondition for the manifestation of truth. The Bible is the words of God. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the Greek, this word, the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This word, Word, is the Greek is logos. Everyone say logos. Not Legos, but logos. Logos is defined as speech, a word, but get this, a living voice. A living voice that is still speaking today. Not in terms of new revelation, but in terms of revealing the voice, what the voice represents. And the voice of the word represents Jesus. It's the only book that you read that actually reads you. As you are reading the word of God, to open up your heart to be able to receive from the living voice, the Holy Spirit, to speak to you. And it's not just a word spoken by a person, because how many know that a word spoken by a person can be easily misinterpreted and misunderstood? How many of y'all played that telephone charade game? I need 5 volunteers. Liv, up here. I need. Come on up here. Amanda, right? Amanda, come up here. Ruby, come up here. Joey, come up here. Come up here. Everyone put your hands together for him real quick. Come on. All right. So do you guys know what the telephone game is? All right, but this is telephone charades. Telephone charades is where you have to act out what is being spoken. So I need you all to face this direction. Everyone face this direction. I'm going to say a word to Miss Liv here, and she is going to act out what I said to her, and then the other person is going to turn around, and then we're going to keep doing that all the way to the end, and then Joey is going to guess what is actually happening, what word I spoke to Liv. All right, now, I forgot because I wanted to show it to you guys up on screen, but let me just text it to Danny real quick. And Danny, I want you to throw this on, this word on screen. Now, I want you guys not to look at the screen. Don't do that. All right? I just texted it over to you. If you can type one up there, I don't know if they can do this or not. We'll see if they can get this up. All right? But I just want you to see how easily, now hopefully, maybe they get it all right. Maybe Liv is the perfect charade person for this, and we have everyone in line. Don't look up at the screen. Everyone, eyes this way, right? All right. Oh, no, don't even look. Don't look at this. Look this way. Everyone look this way. All right? All right. Now, just pop it up. Close your eyes, guys. Pop it up there. No one say it. Pop it up there and then get rid of it. That way they can't see it. All right? Everyone can see it. Don't say 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 it. All right, take it down. Take it down. Take it down. All right, Liv, are you ready? All right. All right, now everyone, you guys face this way. Ruby, go ahead, turn around. All right, that's it. That's all she has. That's all she has. All right, one more time. But don't use your lips. Don't use your lips. All right. Amanda, turn around. Ruby, your turn. All right, your turn. All right, go ahead, do it one more time. All right, last one, go ahead, turn around. You just try to mimic what you thought it was. One more time, he says. All right, Joey, with the best interpretation you have of what Liv was originally told, what do you think that they were describing to you?
Okay, you got a bird flying, get hit by like a truck or something and dead. That's what I got.
In one word, or maybe two, how do you describe it?
Roadkill.
All right, can we throw it up on the screen one more time? Skydiving. All right, put your hands together for these great volunteers. Thank you, guys.
You guys did phenomenal, by the way. Great job. Good job. Now, if that's how it is from something spoken right now, and we interpret it by people's actions, because how many know people don't necessarily read the good, but they interpret by Christians' actions, how much more so as the scripture, as we read the scripture, thank God that we do not have to interpret scripture by what our friends have told us or by what we've seen. We can actually go straight to the source to read it for ourselves. We can go back to the word, not only to verify what was said is true, yes, but what to check what was said is actually in the context to the way it was meant to be interpreted. Now, the word skydiving, maybe because we can't act it out properly. I don't know how I would act out skydiving. But I can tell you a lot of us are trying to interpret scripture by what we've seen, not about who we've known. Now, what we see is the devil then tries to cause confusion amongst the church, and he causes his confusion in the scripture by a misinterpretation of God's intention. The confusion with scripture comes when we take isolated scriptures and make them doctrine and do not weigh them against the entirety of scripture, which reflects God's divinity. So we see this passage, Matthew chapter 4, verse 6. The devil comes up to him, says, "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written." He says, here's the Bible. "It is written, God, Jesus, he will command his angels concerning you, for they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Skydiving. What's he doing? He's quoting a passage found in Psalm 91, verse 11. "For he will command his angels concerning you." Notice, he leaves this part out. "To guard you in all your ways." Why does he leave that part out? Because it contradicts his overall narrative. God will protect you here, but he won't protect you while you're alone and hungry. And so what you'll see is the devil will share truths. He will share parts of scripture that line up with his agenda, but it does not reflect the entire heart of God. Verse 12, "For they will lift up their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." The devil uses the Bible. He knows the Bible actually more than we do. Now, this may sound heretical, but just because the Bible says something, it does not mean that we do it. Let me unpack that just a little bit. Okay, throw yourself down, for the Bible says. Do we just go, "Oh, you're right, devil. The Bible says it, so I guess I should do it"? Well, we know that the devil is a liar, and he's going to take scripture, misapply it in order for us to get us to do something that does not represent Christ and his divinely inspired agenda for earth, but actually to fit our own desires and needs. John chapter 4, 8, verse 44, that says that, "For there is no truth in the devil. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Now get this about the devil. I'm not making a sermon all about the devil, but you do have to know your adversary. Sun Tzu, Art of War, says, "Know yourself, know your enemy. You do not have to fear the result of 1,000 battles." To be able to know what the devil comes at you with, you can now use wisdom on how to properly approach. Because the devil does not come with a lie, necessarily. He comes with falsities. He lies with a distortion of truth. And that truth, oftentimes, is the Bible. To distort the truth means to report or represent something in an untrue way. See, a lie is false. We all know that to be true. We know that because we are equipped with the ability to distinguish from an outright lie. So the devil doesn't choose to present to you an outright lie. He actually presents you with the truth out of context. If you're taking new notes today, write "truth" out of context. Appealing to your humanity as a pretext. So it's a truth out of context, appealing to your humanity as a pretext. We see this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. "You will not surely die," the devil says to Eve. The serpent said to the woman, "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. Not to be like God, but to reflect God. But it's appealing to that desire to reflect God that they would actually be the true representation of God himself. So the devil is appealing to a part that was divinely imprinted into humanity in order to distort the truth and use it for his own will.
The devil was appealing to their nature, being made in the image of God, to get them to do something against God's design, to be like God. Now get this, the devil will appeal to your humanity in an effort to sabotage your destiny. He'll appeal to your feelings. For an example, let's say this sin is okay. You deserve it. You're a man with needs. He'll appeal to your self-righteousness and maybe your self-determinations. You work really hard. They don't all see the work you do. You deserve more money. So why don't you just take some? It won't hurt them. He'll appeal to other parts. He will tempt you to do something and then accuse you with an action-based identity once you do what he tempted you to do. So once you do it, he'll say, yeah, you're nothing but a thief or an adulterer. He will tempt you to do something. He will speak to you about something that you did, which is true, and try to define you by your actions and not by your alignment with Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God. He'll say things like, you've been stressed out a lot. And I'm using hyperbole to an extent. Is that the right word? No, maybe not. That's not the right word. I'm trying to use a sarcastic voice to describe him. You've been stressed out a lot. Better to sin in private rather than lash out in public. And then he'll say, look at you. You just yelled at your spouse, your kids. You're a bad husband. You're a bad wife. You're a bad father. You're a bad friend. And then he'll also get you to fall into temptation by distorting the truth. He'll say, you know what? You can talk to your friends about your other friends. After all, you're just trying to help. Because doesn't the Bible say in Matthew chapter 18, verse 16, take one or two and others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses? The Bible says it is written. It is written. The devil will say, they got to know your side of the story first. So share it to them and just see if you need to bring it to your brother face to face. The worst is when the devil uses verses quoting the love of God in order to justify sinful behavior. The devil will twist God's mercy to appeal to our empathy and cause us to compromise God's original design. We see this happening. We see this happening with culture today, where it appeals to our empathy to show the love of God, and now we compromise the truth of Scripture. The devil will distort the truth of God's justice to get you to think that he is an angry God. But ultimately, he is a just God punishing evil. We thank God that it's a just God. We thank God that he's a loving God. But he does not compromise his justice for loving, and he does not compromise his loving for justice. The devil will distort the truth of God's grace to get you to abuse and justify your sinfulness as a mere byproduct of sin. I believe that God is raising up a church in this city. In the heartland, God is awakening a church that knows when the devil comes out and says something about God or this world that is contrary to God's design, that we are able to vocalize the truth and defend the gospel with the words, it is also written. Say that with me. Say, it is also written. To be able to combat lies with truth, that's what God is calling the church to be able to do. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 7, it is also written. So when someone comes to you and say, God is all love, God is love, you can say, it is also written. To be able to speak the truth in love, yes, but not compromise the truth. It is also written. Say that again. Say, it is also written. Because in Matthew 18, 15 says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, now it goes into what the devil will take. Hey, take two or others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. No, it says it is also written. So you don't just take something that appeals to your flesh. Man, I just need to get this off my chest. I'm just trying to help. But if you just took a moment to talk to your brother or sister face to face, then you can bring it to someone else. Not trying to get your opinion out, but to be able to edify and build up the person that you're in conflict with and say, hey, how do we resolve this conflict? So the text in context is a powerful text. If you're taking notes, that'd be something great to write down. The text in context is a powerful text. The text out of context is a pretext. The text out of context is a pretext. A pretext is a reason given in justification of a course of action that is not the real reason. So I'm looking into Scripture, I'm reading into Scripture and trying to justify my own belief, not let the Scripture transform my belief. Now, when you read something in the Scripture, to be able to say, what else does this say about this matter? So when we read something in the context, we say, okay, and when we read our own pretext into the text, that is called making a God in your own image. To be able to be like God, to discern between good and evil. So now we define as culture, as humanity, what is good and what is evil. It's the original sin. To be able to read a God in our own image rather than subject our ways and know that his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. In the beginning was the Word being Jesus. To know Jesus, not just about Jesus, to know God, to know what breaks God's heart, to reflect him, not merely obey him, to know what makes him happy, to know what makes him sad, to know his voice, to know his heart, to know him. We do not read the Word of God to get our own belief out of the Word. We read the Word of God to let our lives be transformed to be like Jesus. In a world where people are looking for truth, we know now more than ever that we need to be acquainted with what the truth is. What the truth is versus what is a narrative. A narrative which, defined by man, but ultimately derived from the devil himself. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers, principalities of this dark world. When you are confronting something, saying it is also written, know that you are not confronting a person as much as you are confronting a spirit, a belief, a mindset that is behind the person. It is a falsity that tries to take scripture, distort it, and appealing to our humanity in order to create a God in our own image. You don't want to know what the Antichrist is? It may be a physical being, but for the most part, I believe the number 666 represents man doing their best effort to live without God. It's the completion of humanity. It's the completion of man. We don't need God. We don't need his rules. Yeah, it's cool that you have worship and believe all that stuff, but don't let it ever influence the public sector. Don't let it ever influence the business sector, the political sector. Oh, so you got to stay out of politics. No, no, no. If I actually believe what I believe, then I should let my belief influence my political decisions. The Bible shapes my belief. The Bible shapes my actions. I am not determined. My actions are not determined by culture. It's determined by the Word of God. The Word of God says this, the devil will come. Again, he doesn't come through a voice. The devil might appear to you. I don't know, like you could get a demon, but for the most part, you get someone that was influenced by the devil to come to you to get you to compromise scripture. That's why it's important that you get in the Word of God. That's why it's important that you read. It's not too late to learn about the Word of God. I know some people that dove in the Word of God at their late age are like, man, I wish I would have read Scripture earlier. But guess what? You can start right now. And I believe God can do more in a day than you can do in a lifetime. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth. And as long as you're coming before him humbly, God can transform your mind in a moment. And then he can now help you transform other people's minds. And to be able to come before him humbly and say, God, I don't know it all. I don't have it figured out. Not from a point of false humility. Stuff that and the devil where it came from, but a point of reverence and saying, God, your ways are higher than my ways. So if there's anything that I've partnered with in this world, God, shape me, God, mold me, God, transform me. My heart is to know you, not about you. I don't just want to know what you've done, but I want to know who you are. Christ crucified, help me, Lord, to lay down my life, pick up my cross, not my ways, but your ways. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. That's what it means to be transformed by the cross. His ways are higher than our ways. So we got to get into the Word of God. The devil will come in and say, the Word of God says. And you know what? You can say, yes, it does. But it is also written. It is written here, yes, but it is also written. It is written that God is love. But it is also written that God is just. It is written that heaven is God's design for humanity. But it is also written that there is a lake of fire. It is written that God loved Jacob and despised Esau. But it is also written that God is not slow in keeping his promises, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. It is written that God has mercy for those who are stuck in sin. But it is also written that to repent and turn from your wickedness, that his power is made perfect in weakness. So do not boast about your weakness, boast about his power in your life to overcome sin. It is written that godliness with contentment is great gain, but it is also written that you are called to abound in every good work. It is written that the church, the ecclesia, is not a building, but it is also written to not neglect the gathering of believers. It is written God's grace is sufficient, but it is also written a warning against becoming lukewarm. It is written that God is in control of kings and government and places those in power to whom he desires. But it is also written to choose from amongst yourself wise people to rule over you. I don't need to vote as a Christian. It is also written. Well, God says it's already ordained. It is also written. It is written that God is full of grace. Yes, but it is also written that God is full of truth. Now, my friend, we're not talking about a contradiction. We are talking about completion with the correct understanding of God's original intent and when the word that was spoken to when it was written to when it was read. We are called to be a people who can say to the devil and the spirits who are influencing the people of this world that it is also written. CarMax is a great lip balm. You guys know what CarMax is? Like, this has got to be the best.
CarMax.
Oh, CarMax. CarMax. I was wrong. I did say CarMax. Why did I say that? Carfax? Maybe I got that. It's a great lip balm. But did you know they make other things other than lip balm? I found this out the hard way. They make a tube very similar to this that is made for really calloused hands. One day, I'm looking for lip balm. I pull out my wife's drawer and I find something that says CarMax. I immediately think, oh, they make the best lip balm. So not once, but for a whole week, I had really bad chapped lips. I was putting this stuff, I'm like, interesting, it's white. I don't remember it ever being white. And I put it on my lips, and one night before bed, I'm like, this stuff is horrible. I don't know what they changed, but this new stuff they had is horrible. My lips are chapped worse now more than ever. And she pulls up the tube. She's like, what have you been using? She's like, sweetie, this is made for hands, not lips. But what I did is I took something out of context and immediately applied it to my situation, not knowing what its original intent was for. Many Christians are going around frustrated with the result that they're getting because they're not directly applying scripture. It says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6:33 says that. To be able to know, man, I want all the blessings of God. Yeah, you know what? The blessings of God are true. And then we compromise and say, well, no, God just wants you to be poor. God just wants you to be content. Yes, he wants you to be content, not to have riches stored up on earth, but riches in heaven. Well, then we go on the other side. I just want all the blessings of heaven. But you don't first seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then you're able to see that all these things are added to you. To be able to know appropriately apply the CarMax. I almost said, I called this message CarMax. The greatest hand cream, lip balm. I don't know. It says classic lip balm. See, when you come across something that is written, you have to ask yourself, what else does the Bible say about this? Now, I understand one verse sermons done by pastors. I understand that, and I appreciate it because I get it. Most of them get 30 minutes to share the word. That is why we as the church need to be stewards of the word. You want to hear what God sounds like? Read what he's already said. You want to know what God is saying? Get into the word of God. Imagine to get a word from the throne of heaven. God doesn't speak anything new, but he does reveal who he is that is in the text. It's just sides of him that we haven't quite experienced yet. So everything that God speaks will line up with the word of God. So be a person that is hungry for the word of God. One of the values at this church is that Jesus is our daily pursuit. Which Jesus? The Jesus that's full of grace and truth. It sounds like a contradiction, but it is the fullness of God being revealed to us. To know him, That is our goal. Not to use the words that he's spoken to fulfill our goal, but actually to know him. And when you know him, you actually know his goal. You actually know what he came to fulfill. Because in John 1:14, it says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus, with skin on, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit, is it says he didn't leave us as orphans, but John 16:13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will speak not of his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you of what is yet to come. He will speak only what he hears, not what he interprets into scripture, but what he hears. And I want to encourage you as the body of Christ to not speak what you want him to say, but speak what you hear. Can I tell you some of the most powerful forms of healing come from a word of knowledge? When God gives a word of knowledge to an individual and they said, hey, I see something behind your eyes. It feels like a heavy weight. I want to pray that that weight would be removed and to be able to hear that that person has a tumor growing behind their eyes that they're going, like to be able to take a moment and say, Lord, help me to enact your kingdom here on earth, not mine. Now, I appreciate all the times when we ask for healing and we pray for healing in the house of God. I appreciate it. I think we should have faith to be able to say at any moment, my life can be restored, cancer can be ridden in Jesus' name, that arthritis can go in Jesus' name, back pain, tumors, migraines, everything can go in Jesus' name. I believe that to be true. And I also believe that we are called to continually ask God, Lord, what are you desiring right here in this moment that for me to speak things that are not as though they are? To be able to partner with, because this is what Isaiah 53 says. So this is the word of God, right? Is it God's desire for me to be healed? Well, what does the word of God say? I'm not asking you to base your theology off of your experience. I'm calling you to base your theology off of what the word of God says. So when anyone comes to you and says, well, it wasn't the will of God, say, where does it say that in the Bible? Because I know a man by the name of blind Bartimaeus that was calling out while Jesus was on his way. He was saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And everyone said, shut up. It's not your time to be healed. And he cried all the louder, the Bible says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I don't know a single person in the Bible who came to Jesus and Jesus didn't heal them.
Yeah, amen.
I know the Bible says that healing is in his wings.
Amen.
I know the Bible says that he is crushed for our iniquities.
Thank you, Lord.
The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Well, brother, say verily, that's for your spiritual healing. I think it's also for your physical healing. I believe it's both and.
Yeah.
It is also written. So I want you guys to stand to your feet this morning.
Come on.
And in areas where you have compromised your belief, especially in terms of healing, especially in terms of freedom and deliverance, man, I've just struggled with this sin my whole life. It must be my thorn in my side. I know a God that said it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. The Bible says that Christ carried all of your sins, all of your burdens, to come to him, you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I know that freedom is your inheritance. I know that healing is his design for your body. This is what the word of God says. This isn't what I'm saying. And I just want to push against that. I feel just a level of stiff atmosphere when I say healing is his design for your body. Do you believe that healing is for you?
Yes.
Some of us have been putting up with.
Come on.
And don't get me wrong, it takes wisdom. If you have back pain, stop lifting with your back. Right? Like, it takes wisdom. But you know what? I'm going to believe that I am going to die in youthfulness, not fleeing my body. I'm not just naming it, claiming it, but I know that was Moses' life. I know he was able to, his eyesight did not fade. Man, Lord, I want that for me. And if you got it, I want it. If you got freedom, I want it.
If you got healing, I want it. If you got deliverance, I want it. If you got restoration, I want it. You don't desire that anyone get divorced, Lord. If you got restoration, I want it. So I want you right now, if you are in need of God of something, whether it be freedom, whether it be deliverance, whether it be healing, I want you to reach up to the King of Kings right now. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. Come on, you're not calling out to me. You're calling out to him. Right now, God is getting shaking hands and he's bringing stillness in Jesus' name. He's bringing strength to knees in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for freedom that is coming upon your people. You're breaking chains in Jesus' mighty name. God, I believe it is for your people. And if it is written, let it be done.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If this message encouraged you, help us get the word out. Consider sharing it with a friend, rating, or subscribing. If you want to know more about our church, check out our website at mycitychurch.cc or our Instagram at mycitycentral. We look forward to sharing another encouraging word with you next week. God bless.